Christ is divine, yesterday and today and forever. He did not put that deity upon him at the incarnation. He did not throw it off at the crucifixion or the ascension or whatever it might be. He is divine from before the foundation of the world. He is divine for all eternity, and his divine nature has consequences for us. It calls us to recognize the wickedness of our sin in sight of a God and a Savior who is divine and holy. It calls you to trust in the sufficiency of Christ for salvation.
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale. Welcome to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need and to the edification of the Lord's redeemed people.
Hebrews chapter 13 and the verse 8, and the word of God says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. It seems most certain that as we move into the month of May, There will be more change for this world and for our nation. In the month of April, we have already seen change. We will have an election tomorrow. There is an upcoming papal conclave to elect a new pope. And according to our confession of faith, referring to that office as the office of Antichrist, a man of sin and son of perdition. We can think of the events of yesterday evening in Vancouver, where a tragedy occurred that took the lives of many individuals. We know not what a day may bring forth. And these events and many others remind us how quickly this world changes and how quickly our lives can change. There are matters that come upon us personally that change the outcome of our lives. And in all this uncertainty and all this change, we are reminded here in Hebrews chapter 13 that one thing is sure and one thing is certain, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. The Savior never changes, never changes. C.H. Spurgeon, preaching on this text, said, "It is well that there is one person who is the same. It is well that there is one stable rock amidst the changing billows of this sea of life. For how many and how grievous have been the changes of the last year that he then spoke about." He rejoiced that there was a rock upon which he could rest, a rock that would never change, the rock of Christ. To give some summary of what is found here in Hebrews 13, the writer, coming to the end of his epistle, gives the people of God instruction and exhortation concerning the Christian life. In verse 7, he exhorts them to remember those that have the rule over you, those that have spoken to them and preached to them the very word of God. You're to follow their faith. You're to follow after their instruction. In verse 9, they are reminded to not be carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. And again, we have that emphasis that we considered often in the book of Timothy, warnings about strange doctrines, about doctrines that take our minds of Christ and the glory of Christ and the work of Christ, and doctrines that focus upon self, doctrines that are in error, and we're not to be carried about with these things. It is a good thing, the verse says, that our hearts are established with grace. Established with grace. They're stabilized. They're strong. And they're not moving this way or the other way. They're not being carried about with every wind of doctrine. And why is that? Well, in verse 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. The Lord Jesus Christ is the same. He never changes. His person never changes. His work never changes. His truth never changes. And therefore, when we think of diverse and strange doctrines and being carried away with these things, that goes against what we find in verse 8. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. He is a solid rock, a strong foundation. His person, his work, his truth can all be depended upon. And therefore, moving outside of those things to diverse and strange doctrines and being carried away with those things carries us away from Christ. Oh, the name of Christ might be upon those things. Man might have placed the name of Christ on strange doctrines. Man may still talk about Christ and mention Christ and pray to God. But yet, at the foundation, there are these strange doctrines not found in the Scriptures. And we are reminded that because Christ never changes,
then the truth of God is to be depended upon. David Dixon, one of the Scottish Puritan preachers, says that this sentence serveth to show the eternity and immutability of Jesus Christ, the unchangeableness. That's what immutability means. In himself and all his properties of truth and love and pity, it serveth a reason for keeping fast the doctrine taught from him by our faithful leaders, because Jesus Christ will still allow and maintain that truth once given out by himself, and cannot choose to change his truth. And this verse stands against, in its context, stands against everything the modern church may try to do in light with the agendas of the world and moving away from biblical truth. Because the doctrine of Christ never changes. Jonathan Edwards emphasized the importance of holding fast the doctrine of truth in light of the unchanging nature of Christ. He says, by following their faith, the apostle seems intent adhering to the Christian faith and those wholesome doctrines which their pastors taught them, and not depart from them, as many in that day had done to heretical tenets. They were being instructed, stand fast, because Christ never changes. And dear believer, when we think of these words, times can change. Our lives can change. The face of the church in many ways can change. But Christ Jesus our Lord and his word and his work never changes. This is a vital truth, is it not? It's not a truth that encourages our hearts, that we can depend upon that which is absolutely true. How many times in this world have scientists said, such and such a thing is good for you? And then they turn around and say, well, maybe we got that wrong. It's not so good for you. And then others will say, well, there are benefits in this, and you're not sure what to believe. I've heard accounts over the years, well, coffee is not so good for you. Then I've heard coffee is good for you. And I hope that coffee is good for you because of the amount that I may or may not consume. But there are various things that we hear. They seem to contradict each other. What is right? What is true? We hear reports in the news. We hear people's views and people's opinions. What is right? What is certain? What is true? Well, we can rest secure that the truth of God never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, forever. And dear believer, you can be encouraged that Christ is not like this world. He does not give his truth to his apostles. He does not preach his truth himself in the pages of Scripture, and then somewhere down the line changes that truth and twists that truth and makes it mean something else. The truth of Christ is the same. The work of Christ is the same. And we think of this great text, and what does it imply to us? That Christ is the same, that his ministry, his message never changes. It remains the same. The Christian life, living for Christ, to the glory of Christ, is still the same. It doesn't matter whether we're a church in the first century or the 21st century or a church at the very forefront of the Reformation in the 16th century. The Christian life is the same, living by the principles of Scripture to the glory of God. And Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it is Christ that we represent. It is Christ that we preach before our own generation. Not a tradition, not a philosophy in our own minds or something that we created, but the Savior of the world, the Son of God, who lived and died and rose again for his people. And so in these verses, the apostle is clear in practical exhortation. These people, this church, believed in the person and work of Christ. They believed in the truth of God. And the apostle is saying, this should not change. because Christ doesn't change. The doctrines you believe do not change because Christ never changes. And therefore, his great subject in this verse, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever, is the immutable Christ. The unchanging Christ. The immutable Christ. And I want you to see three thoughts that flow from this. Firstly, he is immutable in his divine nature. He is immutable or unchanging in his divine nature. The Savior is one who is altogether lovely. He is one who is the same forever. The same forever. You may say of your spouse, and I'll say it of the men, well, he's changed since the wedding. He's gray. Or maybe he's lost all that hair before it even had a chance to go gray. He's become grumpy in old age. He's put on a little weight. We all change regarding our loveliness. We all change regarding our appearance. But the Savior never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We often think of that maybe in physical terms. We can look at individuals and we can look at some of the photographs from many years ago. We did that at our anniversary. We looked at photographs and there were a few individuals there that have been here for a long time. You could still tell who they were. They maybe changed a little bit, but not that much. And then there are others. And if you saw a photograph of them 40 years ago and they're standing beside you now, you wouldn't even know it was the same person. Change has come in and they have completely changed. And we think of it physically. But when we think of the unchangeable nature of Christ, it is not merely that he looks the same. That's not what the apostle is getting at here. Christ in his nature, Christ in what he has done, Christ in his great work for us, and all of those truths, he never changes. Never changes. And that is fundamental because his divine person never changes. Being the Son of God, he is divine and will always be divine. Jonathan Edwards said, as Christ is one of the persons of the Trinity, he is God, and so hath the divine nature or the Godhead dwelling in him, and all the divine attributes belong to him, of which immutability is one. Christ in his human nature was not absolutely unchangeable, but in his divine nature, he is unchangeable. It is a mark of his divine nature. Humans change. We know that. Christ, because of his divine nature, never changes. And this divine nature is significant. And we are reminded in Scripture of the great work of Christ, what he has done. And his divine nature is significant because it affects every aspect of the person of Christ. Every aspect is affected by his divine nature. And of course, his divine nature is the reason why he is indeed immutable or unchangeable. Christians confess that Christ is fully and eternally God. This was one of the issues that the early church had to face. There were those who claimed that Christ was not the eternal Son of God, that he was a created being. And at Nicaea and in other places, they dealt with heresies that arose at this time in history, in the history of the church, dealing with those that said that Christ was created, that he was not the Son of God, that he was not divine. And the church, they claimed the truth of Scripture and they sounded forth that he is the divine Son of God. Why is that so important? Because it is indispensable to our faith. Saving faith in Christ requires trust in him. And it is a dependence upon the Lord for salvation. Sinner, those who are outside of Christ, who know not the Savior, how can you be saved? Well, the Word of God tells us it is not by yourself. It is not through what you can do. It is by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. And so what does that tell us? What does that tell you? Salvation and the forgiveness of sins does not come from you. It's not something that stems from your innermost being. It has to come from outside you to affect you, because you cannot save yourself. It is a dependence upon somebody for salvation, and that somebody cannot be one who is a sinner. It must be someone who is unique, someone who is pure and holy and perfect. And the denial of the deity of Christ, it leads people away from the wholehearted dependence they ought to have upon Christ. It leads them into self-reliance. Self-reliance. There are many other things that can lead into self-reliance as well. Turning aside from justification through Christ alone leads into self-reliance. We're not exhausting the reason for self-reliance here, of course, but we're saying that if Christ's deity is denied, if Christ is not the Son of God, if he cannot be depended upon to save his people from their sins, what does that do? That pushes us into the realm of depending upon ourselves, for we cannot depend on anything else. And we know that self-reliance does not and cannot save. There are many today who create their own Christ, a Christ made up of their own ideas. Yes, they may not have a religion that they've created themselves. There might not be a man called Smith. And there was a man called Smith some time ago who created his own faith. But taking the simple name Smith, it's not a man called Smith who decided, well, I don't like the Jesus in the Bible. I'm going to invent my own Jesus. And therefore, he has his own faith, which is Smithism. And then you have a Jonesism, and you have another ism, and this and that. And we all have our different beliefs. It might not be classed as a religion, as a faith, as an ism, as we would call it. But how often does that happen? Where the Christ that we have in our own mind is not the Christ of Scripture. We've taken from him, we've added to him a Christ made up of our own ideas. We may not like the Christ in Scripture, the Christ who died for sin, the Christ who came into this world as a sacrifice to die for sin, that we would repent and trust in him. There are those that will strip that away. Oh, but we like the love of Christ. And we like the principles, the social principles that we have in Christ of love and showing compassion upon people. Therefore, well, we can ignore this sin business and focus on love and care and compassion. And what is happening? There's a Christ being created, a false Christ. And if Christ is made up in our own minds, it is not a divine Christ. And it is not a Christ who has power to save. The Christ of the Bible, the Son of God revealed in Scripture, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, is the only one who can save. It is indispensable for effectual salvation. If Christ is not God, then he cannot save. If Christ was not God, he was not protected from Adam's sin. If Christ is not God, he did not have the power to rise again the third day. If Christ was not God, he is not the one who is holy and pure and spotless and could die as the sinless lamb for his people. It greatly affects the work of Christ. His deity is a vital foundation stone in our faith, and the apostle says it never changes.
Spurgeon's devotional is taken today from Psalm 17, verse 7. Marvelous loving kindness. When we give our hearts with our alms, we give well, but we must often plead to a failure in this respect. Not so our Master and our Lord. His favours are always performed with the love of his heart. He does not send to us the cold meat and the broken pieces from the table of his luxury, but he dips our morsel in his own dish, and seasons our provisions with the spices of his fragrant affections. When he puts the golden tokens of his grace into our palms, he accompanies the gift with such a warm pressure of our hand that the manner of his giving is as precious as the boon itself. He will come into our houses upon his errands of kindness, and he will not act as some austere visitors do in the poor man's cottage, but he sits by our side, not despising our poverty, not blaming our weakness. Beloved, with what smiles does he speak? What golden sentences drop from his gracious lips? What embraces of affection does he bestow upon us? If he had but given us farthings, the way of his giving would have gilded them. But as it is, the costly alms are set in a golden basket by his pleasant carriage. It is impossible to doubt the sincerity of his charity, for there is a bleeding heart stamped upon the face of all his benefactions. He giveth liberally and upbraideth not, not one hint that we are burdensome to him, not one cold look for his poor pensioners, but he rejoices in his mercy and presses us to his bosom while he is pouring out his life for us. There is a fragrance in his spikenard which nothing but his heart could produce. There is a sweetness in his honeycomb which could not be in it unless the very essence of his soul's affection had been mingled with it. Oh, the rare communion which such singular heartiness effecteth, may we continually taste and know the blessedness of it. The Lord bless the ministry of his word to your soul today. Thank you for joining us, and we trust that we'll see you again here on Let the Bible Speak. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help, or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091. Or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.